Hello, my little rosebuds. Welcome to another episode. I know it's been a while. My husband started chemo. He found out he had a blood clot from his port. I'm graduating in a couple months. Just a lot has been going on, but I've missed you, so I decided to drop an episode today. Today's episode, we're going to talk about Angela Hammond, who went missing at 30 years old in 1991. She was actually on the phone with her husband while she got kidnapped, her fiance. So grab your weed, grab your wine, and let's dive into this true crime. Hey, rosebuds, let's get into the strain of the day now so we can dive into this episode. I am actually smoking concentrate called Pink Lemonade, and the strain of bud I'm smoking, I believe, is Caramel Apple. It's very good. Both are very good. I give the concentrate a 9 out of 10 leaves, and I give the actual flower a 7 out of 10 leaves. It's stinky, it tastes nice, it hits smoothly. I'm smoking out of a bong personally today. I have my normal glass of rosé, Whispering Angel rosé, because I've switched from the Grige, like I said in the last episode. So go grab what you're going to smoke while you enjoy this episode. So your bowl, your blunt, your bong, your dab rig, your vape pen. These days, kids have so many ways to smoke. I remember back in the day smoking out of a can, and now you guys got vape pens where people don't even know you're smoking. So, but I don't encourage the consumption of marijuana under the age of 21. Just because. Okay, so let's dive in to this true crime. Oh, and grab your cocktail. I can't forget that. That is also an important part. So, we're on April 4th, 1991, in Clinton, Missouri. Angela Marie Hammond goes missing. She's a bank clerk and a college student. She's engaged. And she's tiny. She's only 4'11". Like, I am 5'1". 4'11 is tiny, tiny. My grandmother was 4'11". And I felt like I towered over her. So yeah, 4'1". I mean, 4'11". 4'1 would be really tiny. 4'11 is a little, it's petite. She was 120 pounds. So she was 20 years old at the time, and she was very popular, had a great social life. People really loved her. She was outgoing, she was sweet, and she was cute. She worked at a bank and was taking classes at Central Missouri State. And in January of 1991, she becomes engaged to Rob Schaefer. He's planning on joining the military and is an athlete. On April 4th, 1991, Angela drops him off at home after a barbecue they both attended at a friend's house. This is around 10 p.m. And then they plan to meet later after his mother got home from work because he was actually babysitting his little brother at the time. So Angela was not babysitting with him, so she goes out with her friend Kyla. So at 11:15, so she drops Rob off at 10 p.m. So at 11:15, an hour and 15 minutes later, she calls Rob from a payphone. She is 7 blocks from her house, and she's at the intersection of Jefferson and 2nd Street. She called him just to check in. Obviously, 1991, for all my little babies that are listening, is before we had access to cell phones. In fact, we used to call our parents collect, and where they have you say your name, say, hey, mom, pick me up at blah, blah, blah really quick and then hang up so they didn't have to accept the charges and we didn't have to pay the 25 cents we didn't have for the payphone. Yes, I'm aging myself. It's fine. So she's calling him from the payphone and she's 7 blocks from her house, like I said. And while she's talking to him, she starts to get a feeling and looks around and sees that there is a car, a man, who keeps circling the block. It was a green Ford pickup truck with a male driving, and it kept going around the block to the point where she noticed it and started to get freaked out by it. So eventually the man parks and gets out of his car. And he used the phone before getting back into his car. Then he takes out a flashlight and starts flashing it in the truck as if he's looking for something. Angela has a bad feeling about all of this. So Angela starts describing the man's appearance in the truck to Rob. She then asked the guy, do you need to use the phone? Is that why you're here? And he said he would try again in another minute. She and Rob returned to their conversation. So they're talking about what's going on for the night, their plans, everything like that. When is his mom going to be home? So then Rob hears Angela scream. The man in the green Ford pickup truck then picks up the phone and says, I didn't need to use the phone anyway. How freaking creepy is that? Imagine you're on the phone with your significant other. All of a sudden they scream and then the guy is like, I didn't need to use this phone anyway after you heard your significant other ask them. Creeper majeeper. That's yikes. Yikey crikey on bikies. I don't even know what to say. That is so creepy. So Rob immediately drops the phone and races out to his car. Since he knew where Angela was, he immediately goes to that payphone. He's hoping to help her. He's hoping that maybe they're not gone yet, that he can save her, or that he'll see them. The abductor's trucks speeds by him in the opposite direction, and Rob actually hears Angela yell out to him. So he throws the car in reverse. This unfortunately damages his transmission. So he follows the truck for 2 miles, and then the transmission fails when he makes a sharp right turn. So poor Angela, like, most women who get abducted don't have this, right? Just a person with a description of the person who's creeping them out, a description of the truck, somebody following them to save them, and then his transmission fails. Like, what are the odds? That is so sad. And he must have felt so terrible after that. So the truck drives away, and then it's never seen ever again. Obviously, after this happens, an extensive search begins for Angela. They look for the man Angela described to Rob and the truck that was described to Rob. The Missouri State Highway Patrol checks hundreds upon hundreds of trucks that match the description. A Ford green pickup truck, many people own those, so it's not like it was a violently yellow Lamborghini screaming, look at me, or whatever. So it's a pretty normal car. So they check hundreds and hundreds, but they were all ruled out. So what happens when investigators go through all the leads? They start looking at the people around them. And of course, who do they question? Rob. They question his stories. At first, there was nobody to corroborate his account of what happened. Rob was the only one who said that. So And as we know, if you've listened to my podcast ever before, or any true crime podcast, television show, whatever, you know, most likely the boyfriend, fiance, husband, wife, girlfriend, whatever, the significant other did it. You know that. Like, deep in our hearts, we all think back to Scott Peterson and, you know, how he cried, and Chris Watts and all of them, and they all ended up doing it. And it's just very common that's who it happens to be. So Rob says, yeah, I'll take a polygraph so I can free myself, because I know that I'm not lying, and the polygraph does in fact say he is telling the truth. It's not like Maury, where every single time it's like the polygraph determined that that was a lie. Like, every time on that show, they determine it was a lie. Also determine that's not the father. Okay, that tangent. That Maury tangent. Oh boy, I can't believe that show is still on here. So after he passes the polygraph, two witnesses come forward and say they saw a truck. It was suspicious, and it was between the payphones between 11:30 and 11:45. Now, remember, Angela made the call to Rob at 11:15. So she would have been on the payphone with him right before they saw the suspicious person around the payphones. So within a week, Rob is cleared, because now people are corroborating his story. He passed a polygraph. He clearly had nothing to do with it, just had terrible luck. And that is so unfortunate, and I feel bad for him, because I'm positive there was probably guilt that came along with that, even though it was 100% not his fault. So I feel really bad for Rob in this case. Poor Rob. 2 days later, Angela's abduction was connected to two other unsolved cases within a 100-mile radius. So she's in Missouri. So the first one is in Max Creek, Missouri. And it happened on January 19th, 1991. A 42-year-old convenience store worker whose name was Trudy Darby called her son and said, look, there's a suspicious guy hanging out. I have issues saying suspicious, and I'm sorry if you can always hear me struggling with it. Just too many S sounds right in a row. Lurking outside. And then, so that's a lot like the call that Angie made to Rob. The creepy guy lurking around, to the point where they call somebody and describe him. The son comes to the store in under 10 minutes because he's worried about his mom, and finds it empty, which that had to be so scary for the son, knowing, because like, he clearly knew something not good happened to her. So that had to be very upsetting for him. These poor guys, they're going to save these women, and it's just like 2 seconds too late, and it's making me very sad for them. Losing your mother has to be hard, but losing your mom after she calls you and you race to save her and you're just a little too late has to be the hardest thing ever. 2 days later, her body was found on a riverbank 10 miles from the store. Trigger warning, I'm about to bring up sexual assault. So if you are triggered by that, don't want to hear it today, or not in the headspace for it, just fast forward a little bit. So the suspicious man had raped her, and there was evidence of it being rough and terrible, as all rapes are, but he was rough with her, and then he shot her twice in the head. The other case involved a 30-year-old, so right near Angela's age, Cheryl Kenny. She was also a convenience store worker, and she lived in Nevada, Missouri. And that's about 70 miles from where Trudy was taken, so the person could have driven to a different jurisdiction and She vanished after locking up her store on the night of February 27th. Her car was left in the store parking lot and they found it abandoned, so that is why foul play began to become suspected. And then Angela was abducted just a month after that. So obviously, with all these women getting kidnapped and passing and the signature kind of being the same, a suspicious man they noticed, the convenience stores or Angela alone in the payphone, women around the same age, race, description, all alone. So, of course, they think serial killer, which it does sound like a serial killer, right? I mean, serial killers mostly keep the same MO throughout all of their kills. So their fear is that there is a serial killer hunting vulnerable women in Missouri. They hold out on the little hope that Angela or Cheryl is still alive. And there have been several unconfirmed sightings of Angela throughout the United States and even in Canada. We all know that when people go missing or die, people see them all over the place. Elvis has been seen all over the place. Tupac. You know, people want to hold on to that hope. So I think that's what most likely happened. So, as I said, Rob was a suspect, but he was cleared. And according to him and the other witnesses, the abductor was described to them as filthy Caucasian man with glasses, a beard, and a mustache. Wearing overalls, he drove a late 60s to early 70s model two-tone green Ford pickup. Now remember, this was in the early 90s, so the 60s to early 70s models is like you driving a early 2000 now. To the 90s. So don't think it's too crazy that it was that kind of car. It had a mural of a fish jumping out of the water on the back window. A serial killer in Missouri who was active from 66 to 92 has been looked at as a possible suspect, but he was never linked to the case. So this remains still unsolved. However, Trudy's case got solved eventually. Two brothers, so Trudy is the one that called her son, said that there was a suspicious guy and she was worried about it. Her son raced there, didn't get there in time. So two half-brothers, Jesse Rush and Marvin Channey, were convicted on the charges of murdering and raping Trudy. So that's awesome. However, Cheryl and Angela still remain unsolved. Investigators think that maybe Jesse and Marvin were involved in both of theirs since the MO is the same, but there's no solid evidence to point to that, so they haven't been charged. There's been rumors about what happened to Angela, that she was murdered and thrown into a well, and she was hidden on a water ride. So, yeah, there's rumors, but nothing has happened. However, on the 30th anniversary of Angela's disappearance in April 2021, so last year, not too long ago, for a case that happened in 91, it's crazy that this happened, that something came up in 2021. So the Clinton Police Department announced that there was a new theory being investigated in our case. And that a confidential informant that helped in a narcotics operation received a cut and paste letter which said, "Hello, number redacted," so his informant number, which they obviously didn't share, We know who you are, number redacted. Once again, his informant number. People like you deserve what you get. We know where your foxy daughter is at, and she will see us soon. Tell wife's name, which has been redacted. She has our deepest sympathy in her further loss. Goodbye. Goodbye is spelled incorrectly. There's no E at the end. I don't know if that matters or if they got lazy cutting out letters, but just know goodbye is spelled wrong. So the number correctly identifies the person who received it, their informant number, and his wife's first name. And the letter was postmarked April 4th, 1991, which is actually the day we know that Angela got taken. And the informant's wife and daughter were living in Clinton, Missouri, which is where Angela lived. And her name was Angela. So that's a lot of coincidences to just brush under the rug. I don't think that's what happened. I don't think it's just coincidences is what I mean. Like, there has to be some connection. It's just too weird. They were living in the same place. Her name was Angela. She never got kidnapped. He got the letter, was correctly identified. That just seems really crazy. So the theory is that whoever was involved in the narcotics operation targeted the daughter, but then mistakenly grabbed Angela Hammond. And investigators have said the theory is credible and they're not able to rule it out at this point. They also recently received an anonymous call from someone who may have had information about Angela's abduction. And the caller knew specific details involving the letter that they didn't release to the public. However, they didn't reveal the information. So now they're just hoping the caller calls back and gives them the information. There is a reward being offered for any leads in this case, and I really hope it comes to light what happened to Angela, because this is a scary tale of a girl who was alone and scared and managed to get kidnapped while on the phone. And her boyfriend almost stopped the person, but they got away because of his transmission. So it's scary because she actually had people looking for her and still was not found. Kidnapping scares the living bejeez out of me. I watch and talk about too much true crime where I'm always hypervigilant as a female, especially in parking lots, when I walk places alone, etc., because unfortunately in today's day and age and for all of our history, women have had to be like that. And this case proves that even if you are hypervigilant and know when something is off, it can still happen and it's scary. Okay, so that was obviously a shorter episode. I wanted to just be able to give you guys an episode because it's been a while. I will be back, I promise, if not this week, then next week with a longer episode. And I hope you all enjoy your day. Go smoke some more weed and enjoy the day. Love you guys. Oh, also, like us on, like, give us a rating wherever you listen to your podcasts if you can. Also, we have a Twitter, R0SE420, so Rose 420. The O is a 0, and then 420 in numerals after. So R0SE420. We also have an Instagram, Weed, Wine, and Crime. Check that out and give us a follow. I love hearing from you guys. And as always, please recommend us to your friends if you are enjoying this. Have a great day. Stay high, my friends.
Thank you.